Schools are generally quiet now. The kids got to call it a year earlier this month. But quiet schools do not mean an end to discussions about education. These are ongoing in our society as we continually tweak the ingredients and formula that might produce the best, most job-ready students. The National Education Association, NEA, holds a major gathering in Washington, D.C. in the near future. Oregon Education Association President Hannah Vandering will be there with a delegation from Oregon. Let's find out more about the gathering and the agenda. Hannah Vandering, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, good morning, Jeffrey. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Thanks for joining us. So a couple of different things are going on in D.C. at the same time, or close to each other in time anyway. Would you explain what's all going on there?
So the annual Representative Assembly has a lot of components. We have pre-conferences to talk about. We have a student conference as a pre-conference. We have all of the large locals come together and talk about issues that impact our urban education associations. We have the national state organizations that come together and talk. And then we get together with 8,000 to 10,000 of our closest friends and really dig in to the issues that impact our students every day. And as educators, we are on the forefront of trying to build the schools that our students deserve. So we'll spend time talking about the impacts of the new Every Student Succeeds Act. We'll be talking about issues that educators across the nation believe are important for us to discuss, and so it'll be a great opportunity for us to come together and have the Oregon delegation bring the voice of Oregon students and Oregon educators.
From somebody who has functioned as both an educator and as the head of an education association, a teachers union in essence, what does it look like from the inside? Because we've been talking about, you know, the whole Why Johnny Can't Read thing, I think came out when I was still in school. So we've been complaining about public schools and what they deliver for decades now, and talking about ways to tweak and improve them. What, I mean, is there a set of issues that it all comes back to, or do the issues change over time?
I really appreciate the way that you just framed that, and I will tell you from my opinion as an educator who has been in the trenches working with students and one who gets out into our buildings and talks with educators. We have been complaining about public education, but what we haven't been doing is we haven't been listening to parents and educators about what it will take to provide a quality education. We have allowed individuals who are actually looking to profit off public education to make changes. We haven't focused on ensuring that the equity that we have in our schools is really based on what's best for the students, not just using the word equity, but actually providing for every student across the state, no matter what zip code they live in, a quality learning environment. So one of the really exciting things about the Every Student Succeeds Act, which replaces No Child Left Behind, which replaced ESEA, is the new legislation lifts up the voice and really provides educators and parents an opportunity to engage and help build the schools that will allow our students to be successful. So this is our opportunity in Oregon to grab a hold of this new legislation, to take advantage of the opportunity to lend our voice and really build something great for students so they can be successful. And what the Oregon Education Association, we are all in on helping. We're working closely with the Department of Education, with the Governor's Office, with the Chief Education Officer to provide information to educators and then truly get them engaged with their communities around looking at what our schools can do when we provide for them the supports and resources to build what's right for students.
We can easily get into alphabet soup here as we get from ESSA back to NCLB. ESSA being the Every Student Succeeds Act, which is a successor to No Child Left Behind. What are the major differences between those two acts, Hannah?
Well, the differences are that, again, Every Student Succeeds Act asks the control to go back, or provides for the control to go back to the local level. So school boards will be working with education associations in the district to really look at what they are providing for students and what they can. This new act has more than, it looks at more than just a test score. It's no longer going to be that a high-stakes test is what evaluates educators in schools and our students. There will be multiple measures. So the things that really are valued by educators, we use assessments every day, and I'm sure, Jeffrey, you're aware, we've been working for 2 years in Oregon, the Oregon Education Association, 18 quality educators who have dedicated a lot of time with our chief education officer, the governor's office, and the Department of Ed to create a balanced system of assessment. And that is a very large piece of the Every Student Succeeds Act, is to get assessments right. And in order for us to do that, we have to put the emphasis back on assessments that provide meaningful feedback to students on a regular basis, assessments that allow educators to know where their students are when the student has completed the assessment, not 4 months later, but actually quality information right away so that you can adjust your instruction and ensure that your students are successful. So that's a large component of the Every Student Succeeds Act. Also, looking at school and student success measures within the Every Student Succeeds Act. So there are things that are extremely important, like having counselors in schools. That could be a measure. That could be one of the indicators of success that we would use. Having career and technical opportunities, making sure that we have a class size that is reasonable for students to learn. And I know down in Southern Oregon, I was in the building. I sat in the classroom of the kindergarten teacher, the first-year kindergarten teacher who had 58 students in her classroom. We can't allow that to go on, and putting the control back at the local level will allow us to help build the system that we believe is right for our students.
Wow, which district was that?
It was in the Central Point District.
Okay, Central Point, Gold Hill, District 6. Let's take some calls here. Hannah Vandering is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's the president of the OEA, the Oregon Education Association, the Teachers Union, on her way to the Representative Assembly and National Meeting in Washington, D.C. You can join in, 800-838-3760, to talk educational issues. That's our phone number, 800-838-3760. Email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Ryan and Eugene. Welcome to the Exchange.
Well, again, thank you for the great discussion, and thanks for introducing my son the other day, Jeffrey, as he was graduating from SLU.
I thought that was yours. I noticed the last name.
But anyway, you know, we get into these market forces and accountability and these simplistic solutions and these one-size-fits-all issues, and I think that, you know, as you're talking, you know, that context of family and community and the local resources are so critical. You know, and yet we still want to be able to support those legislators who, you know, have that sense of accountability and are we getting our money's worth from schools and all of those issues. And I keep coming back to, you know, this the one-size-fits-all system and the system that we have and what kinds of things we need to change in the system. You know, as we want that young person to develop their own personal narrative, their own personal path, their own personal academic identity, How do we help morph the system, ODE, the legislature, teachers, schools, so that we're better positioned to engage students and families?
All right. Excellent question. Thanks for that, Ryan. Appreciate it. Hannah?
Yeah, Ryan, thank you for that question. So I believe the answer is that you really allow educators we look in the eyes of our students every day, and as someone who, I'm an elementary PE teacher, I know that my students deserve my very best every day. And you're right, one size fits all doesn't work for our students in public education. So in order to, and we have, I have no problem talking about accountability and making sure that we as educators are doing everything we can to help our students. But in order to do that, you have to allow educators to differentiate their instruction for their students. You have to allow there to be the investment in our students that will help them be successful. So that means that different districts across the state will make some different decisions on what's most important and what those students need to be successful. And when you allow parents and educators to come together and talk about what their hopes and dreams are, and how they do that work together, I believe that we're just going to thrive in Oregon. I think the work that we've done around assessments is a key component because it really does talk about how does every individual, every assessment user, has the knowledge around assessment literacy or what quality assessments look like. That includes legislators and parents and educators, community members, business leaders, because when we talk about what we really need to be successful and we're all on the same page, our students thrive, and that's what we want at the Oregon Education Association.
There's a frequent issue that comes up in the concept of making sure that the kids who are running a little behind the rest of the class aren't left behind. I mean, and this is what gave us the No Child Left Behind legislation. In the process of trying to make sure that the rear keeps up with the middle, do you then slow down the kids at the front of the class who are moving a little faster than the average?
You don't have to do that if you're allowed to teach your students and have the time to do that. And what we've done over the last 14 years with No Child Left Behind is we have had this infatuation with high-stakes testing, and we pretended that that was the end-all, be-all, when in reality, it's a moment in time. And what we believe the focus should be on is many moments in time, assessments that are used on a regular basis that allow us to adjust our instruction for each and every student. And we can have summative assessments. We can let people know where our students are by using a summative assessment, but we don't have to test every student every year, and we do not have to put all of our money and all of our time into that assessment. At the end of the day, when we provide students an opportunity to complete a summative assessment, it should be just that, an opportunity. Show us where you are. It should not be, the stakes should not be high on that assessment for our students. And as we, every day, whether it's a ticket out the door or whether it's a short assessment to see where you are in one particular concept, those are the skills that educators have that have not been allowed to be utilized in our schools because we've been so fixed on literacy and math, and here's the statewide assessment, and here's what's most important.
But does OEA support the Smarter Balance tests that exist in Oregon now, Hannah?
We support having a summative assessment that actually measures the standards that we've adopted because as educators, that's what we're accountable for is the actual standards. So right now there's work going on to assess the Smarter Balance. Is it really measuring those standards that we've adopted, the Common Core standards? And I don't believe we have the answer to that yet. I don't believe that we have looked at it closely, and we need to allow that work to be done. We surveyed members across the state last year after the assessment. There's a work group right now that's working on assessing that. But what we want is we want every assessment that we use needs to be quality, and it needs to be the right amount of time for the assessment, not used as a stick or used as the only measure of student success.
What do you make at the OEA of the Springfield School Board voting recently unanimously to urge parents to opt out of the Smarter Balance tests? I mean, is that an isolated incident, you think, or maybe a first domino?
Well, I think that the school board, it has the best interest of the students in mind. If the assessment is not providing the feedback and it's not the best tool for the students and it's not being used appropriately, then parents should make the choice that's right for their child. And as I shared, you know, we're not afraid of being held accountable. We want to be held accountable, but we want to be held accountable for the right things in the right way. And right now, the emphasis that is put on the Smarter Balance is problematic for our students. When you have students not wanting to go to school, or you have students becoming ill at school, or not liking school because of the assessments, that's wrong, and we have to fix it. The Oregon Education Association, we have said that opt-out is not the answer. It's what we do because what we have right now is not working for our students.
Hannah Vandering is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the president of the OEA, the Oregon Education Association, visiting with us to talk about some thoughts on the way to the National Meeting and Representative Assembly. You can join our discussion about educational issues, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Steve and Eugene. Welcome to the Exchange.
Howdy. Oregon used to be in the top 10% nationally in terms of our school standing. Now we're in the bottom 10%, and personally, I lay this at the feet of Measure 5 and the Sons of Measure 5. We used to have a stable funding for our school system. We knew every year that it's going to be the same. We could make plans and so on. Now you're talking smaller classes, which means more teachers, more money, putting in counselors, which means more money. Where are you going to get the money from, and how are you going to pick up the public support to actually bring this about?
All right. Thanks for the question, Steve. Appreciate that. Measure 5, just for the quick history lesson, cut property tax rates by about two-thirds for schools in Oregon, more in some cases, down to $5 per thousand and capped them there. Required the state to make up the difference to the schools, which is why the state budget was reorganized as well. So, Hannah, what do you think about what Steve was talking about?
Well, Steve, thank you for the question. And I'm a product of Oregon public schools prior to Measure 5, and I started teaching just prior to Measure 5 passing, and it has had a huge impact on public education. So where are we going to get the funds to be able to do this? We believe we have the answer. It's in the Better Oregon campaign. It's an opportunity for Oregonians to decide that what we believe we should have for students in the quality education model and should be available to all students. The Better Oregon campaign is an opportunity for Oregonians to vote, to ask the largest corporations who are paying much lower rates than any other state. We're number 50 in the nation. We're asking them to pay their fair share so that our students can have what they need, so that seniors can have the services that they need, and also improve health care in Oregon. So those three things, public education, health care, and senior services, will be impacted by this measure. It is a small increase for large corporations that have over $25 million in sales in Oregon, and we believe that that will allow us, the number that's been attached to that is $6.1 billion a biennium. For years, everyday Oregonians have passed local options to fund our schools. Measure 5 said the state was going to do it. It hasn't. We have let our students down. We have impacted our future and our economy by doing so. So we believe that passing the Better Oregon campaign will allow us to build the schools that our students deserve. It rekindles the hope in public education. And we are, right now, our graduation rate is not what we want it to be, but we also, our funding is not what it should be. We need to improve the learning conditions for each and every student, and we look forward to having that happen.
This comes by a couple of different names. You're calling it the Better Oregon campaign. It is a gross receipts tax, according to the ballot title. It is still referred to as Initiative Petition 28 because it hasn't been given a ballot number for November. We have the business side calling this a sales tax, hidden, which raises the question. I mean, there is the charge often leveled from the business side that the teachers' unions never met a tax they didn't like. What do you think about that? Hannah?
Well, I think about our students every day and what our educators are going through to provide for our students. And we've got all kinds of people saying hidden sales tax, all this. This is not a hidden sales tax. This is an opportunity to go from number 50 in the nation to about number 42 for large corporations. And short of this, there is no answer. We can't have 58 students in those classrooms. We can't cut PE, music, library, career, and technical as adults in this state and believe that we're doing the right thing for students. So this is a choice. It's a choice of whether we believe that the largest corporations can pay a little more to help fund public education in Oregon, healthcare, and senior services, or whether we believe that we should just continue down this road of being the third largest class size, having one of the shortest school years, having one of the worst graduation rates. It's our choice as adults whether we want to provide for our students or not. And if it's up to educators in this state, we believe our students deserve so much better, and we're willing to work on it and make sure that no matter where you live in this state, you'll have a quality learning environment that sets you up for success to be a citizen in Oregon that can help build the economy.
About a minute and a half left, time enough for a call from Bill in Eugene. Welcome to the Exchange with Hannah Vandering from the OEA.
Hi, thanks for having me. I recently heard that Oregon's graduation rate from high school is 48%, which is the worst in the country. And I'm very confused why Oregon is different than all 47 states and not having a sales tax. And all the other schools don't seem to have the problems we do. Maybe if we put forth a sales tax, it doesn't tax things people need to live. And
let's get time for a response here, Bill.
Okay. And ask her about if she'd be willing to help push it for her sales tax to fund schools.
So it is the graduation rate was 68%, not 48%. And Hannah, what are your thoughts?
Well, Oregonians have voted down a sales tax time and time again. They don't believe in a sales tax. We don't believe that everyday Oregonians should be paying that. We believe that being 50th in the nation in corporate taxes is the wrong place to be if we really want to fund public education and provide for our students. So we have an answer. IP28, the Better Oregon campaign, will allow us to do the right thing for our students, and we are going to support it, and we believe Oregonians will as well.
All right. We'll be talking a lot more about IP28 as we get closer to the November election. The Better Oregon campaign is called by the OEA, sales tax by another name called by the business community. We'll try to get to the middle of that as well. Hannah Vandering is the president of the Oregon Education Association on her way to the national gathering in Washington. Hannah, thanks for joining us again on the Jefferson Exchange.